The Royal Bank of Scotland has announced losses of £24.1 billion. That's the biggest in UK corporate history. I'm with The Guardian's head of business, Dan Roberts. Dan, the scale of these losses is beyond comprehension. Can you remind us, why has the RBS lost so much money?
Basically, it's the same reason all of the banks are in trouble. They lent money to people who can't pay it back. It's obviously gets more complicated from there on in, but that's at the heart of it. There's an extra complication in the RBS case in that they bought a huge Dutch bank right at the top of the boom times for an enormous amount of money, which they suddenly subsequently had to sort of revalue. And so some of these losses include a write down to reflect the reduced value of that bank they bought, and to that extent they're not cash costs, they're more of an accounting cost. But nonetheless, there are huge real losses in here, which is to do with businesses that are going bust that can't pay their bank. They're to do with derivative contracts and financial sort of market dealings that have turned sour. I mean, you name it, RBS is in it.
Now the RBS has applied for extra help from the taxpayer in the form of the Asset Protection Scheme. Can you explain how that works?
Yes, this is another one that sort of sounds an awful lot more complicated than it is. I mean, ultimately, and this is my personal view, this is the final stage in the bailout process, and we're now pretty much at full nationalisation. I mean, what we have done is effectively say to RBS, if you lose any more money, then the government will cover the cost of that. There are details on top of that. The first 10% has to be shouldered by RBS, much as if you have a household insurance scheme and your car windscreen gets broken or whatever, you pay the first 50 quid and then the insurers will pay the rest. They've come up with an insurance scheme along those lines. But the surreal twist with RBS is that the government is the one providing the money to pay the premium. So though they've set up a premium to cover the risk of this insurance, but we, the taxpayer, are paying that premium. And also, we know that there's losses out there. It's not as if they haven't had that car windscreen broken yet or the house burgled yet. The house has been burgled. They've come to us and said, can you insure us retrospectively? And by the way, can you lend us the money to pay the premium? So this is why I think this is effectively us saying, you know, we can't afford to let this bank go under. There's no more money in the bank. We're going to have to shoulder that burden as taxpayers.
And the RBS employees are going to shoulder some of the burden. Up to 20,000 of them might lose their jobs. Meanwhile, the former RBS chief, Sir Fred Goodwin, is going to pocket £650,000 a year in a pension. And I mean, the Chancellor's asked him to give that up. Do you think he will?
I suspect he won't. And I don't mean to be too cynical, but I think that Fred Goodwin has been so pilloried for his role in all of this that she's not got much less to lose in terms of reputation, and he would argue he's perfectly entitled to this, he's contractually entitled to this. I think the more interesting story is actually how this contract got drawn up and the extent to which the government must have known this was in there previously. I mean, this is not the first time it's had any dealings with RBS. And the cynic in me wonders that the timing of this coming out may have something to do with the fact they want to distract attention from the fact that this was the day they virtually nationalised the bank. We can all get angry about Fred Goodwin. I'm very angry about Fred Goodwin. But it's actually, in the big scheme of things, a relatively small part of this story, but it's one that attracts attention.
And will the government at some point take some legislation to claw back money from people who have been paid huge bonuses and so on?
They're showing no sign of it at the moment, but I'd like to see them do that. I mean, ultimately, this is a sovereignty question. You know, the elected government of the day can pass laws to do whatever it like. You might argue that that's unfair justice and changing the goalposts afterwards. But, you know, in the light of what we now know about these banks, those contracts were awarded in very dodgy circumstances. They were awarded for bonuses were given for performance that subsequently proved to be illusory. And I think we have every right as taxpayers to go back and challenge that. And if that means going to court to challenge it, or if that means passing primary legislation to do so, then I think we need to take them on.
And meanwhile, just a few hours after the RBS announced these huge losses, Mervyn King, Governor of the Bank of England, told the Treasury Select Committee that we won't know the extent of the bank's toxic assets for what he said was many months.
Yeah, that was quite alarming. I mean, I suspect that partly what's going on here is that they don't want to continually go back and stress test these banks, because every time they go back and stress test them, they find that there's another 10, 20, 30 billion pounds needed. And every time they do it, it reminds us that ultimately these are insolvent institutions. And so we're seeing this curious dance at the moment where everybody is trying to avoid acknowledging that these banks are bust and that we've had to nationalize them.